take 10 seconds and give Jesus a shout of praise in the house tonight. He's awesome. Can I just ask two things? Can we get the house lights on a little bit? I just want to see a good-looking denomination. I'm in the AOG, and so I just want to see what attractive people look like. On second thoughts, maybe we'll put them down. No, I'm just teasing. Can we just stand to our feet? That's the other thing, just for one more minute. I know we're up and down. I just would love us to lift our hands to heaven right across the house. I'm believing God wants to do something supernatural in this place. I don't know how you've come, but I pray that you leave this place filled afresh with the Holy Ghost, that a fresh anointing is going to get on churches and ministries, that maybe some of you might have just, I reckon this, not prophetically, just statistically, there's probably a few pastors here that have come in your head. You might have even thought about, I'm going to quit, I'm done. I'm believing God, you're going to go home under a fresh fire from heaven. There's going to be increase and blessing and provision for the work ahead. I'm believing that a fresh anointing is going to get on your church. But I'm believing tonight, God's going to move. I am an old time, I'm 42, I'm very young. I am an old time Pentecostal. But I don't even want us to be Pentecostal tonight. Why don't we be Pentahostal? That was a bit of a joke. That went well. I practiced that all afternoon in front of the mirror. But I'm believing that God wants to do something in the house. And if you come hungry, you can leave touched. And the world needs a revival more than ever before. And I'm just believing God wants to touch people. And I wanted maybe for just 30. Can we get the house lights right up? Is that okay? Just so I can see for a minute. Why don't we lift our hands to the God of heaven and earth? Let his anointing just come, Father, tonight. Let the rain of heaven just fall in this place. Lord, I pray a fresh fire would get on every pastor and leader. Lord, let the UK be touched by the fire of God. The enemy can't have England. The enemy can't have the UK. It's God's. It belongs to the Lord. And Father, I just pray from Scotland all the way to Wales, from Ireland all the way to the other side right here in England. Lord, let revival fires burn again in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, can you take 10 seconds and lift the roof in this place? Let a shout fill the house. Ah, that's what I'm talking. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Death couldn't hold him. Oh man, I feel like something good's gonna happen in the house. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Man. Well, anyway, I just before you sit down, I'm just so honored to be here with Pastor Chris and Pastor Annie and to be invited to minister here in the motherland, the UK. I'm from that island where I was sent by you 200 years ago for, I don't know what we did, but can I say thank you for sending us? It's warm down there. You know, it's nice. We got this thing called the sun, and we love that. We love that. But it is just a privilege to be here, and I just want to thank you for 8 years of service to this movement, and I'm sure the conference will honor you in the way they see fit, but and we honor you. We thank God for you. Amazing. And it hasn't been that stressful. He's 35. I think he still looks fantastic. But I'm just so honored to be here. I feel like I'm with my family that I've never met yet, probably related somewhere up the chain. I'm just so excited also about the future, Pastor Mark and Pastor Nita. You're going to do an amazing job, and I know this room's behind you. And I asked them if I could get a job. They said no. But you may be seated. Give your neighbour a COVID-safe kiss. Tell them. If you're watching online, good evening. We welcome you. I had the privilege of ministering at Kensington Temple on Sunday, and love you guys so much. What a wonderful church! And thank God for what God is doing. And the worship in that house is like nowhere you'll ever go in your life. And It was just such a privilege. Believe in God, they can afford air conditioning. And because it was pretty toasty in there. So I just preached on hell. 17,000 people got saved. And we give God praise for that. I don't know if it's possible, but can we keep the house lights on for the whole sermon? Is that okay? And is that all right? I know it's not cool production, but I just want to be able to see everybody. And people are playing games on their phone and their faces are shining. That guy up there is playing Angry Birds. If you have a Bible, let's go together, please, to the book of Acts, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Acts. I'm going to read, can I just say tonight, I should apologise in advance, tonight I'm just going to preach to the choir. I'm going to preach all of our favourite things in one sermon, and I'm believing God's going to do something supernatural in the house, but I want to preach this for the next generation to hear some of this stuff, for those that you've laboured and preached a lot of what I'm going to preach tonight for decades, and to all of you, I thank God for you, but tonight I want to preach a message simply entitled The Message of Pentecost. The message of Pentecost, because it's a message that we cannot lose. I believe the message of Pentecost is the Bible message, and the devil's done all he can do to stymie, to try and neuter this message and try to get us to back off the power of God and back off the move of the Spirit. But if he can keep the church without power, he knows the church can't reproduce. But I'm believing that God wants to fire us up afresh under a fresh anointing, under a fresh grace. And someone said to me the other day, oh, David, we need a fresh Pentecost. And I said to them, I reckon the old one still works really well. So I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. If you have a Bible, let's go to the book of Acts. If you have an iPhone, turn with me there. If you have a Samsung, just leave that in your seat if you can. I just want to address the Samsung people. It's because of you that we're all on WhatsApp and we don't want to be on WhatsApp. I just want to say to all the senior pastors, that one staff member on the Samsung, just know they're the ones with the independent spirit. That you. I'm just teasing. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized in water. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons in which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Again, Pastor Chris was talking about Elam in New Zealand. That, my friends, is the ends of the earth. Let's turn right for just a moment. Acts chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 1. And it says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Somebody say, all filled. That's my prayer for every member in my church. That's my prayer for every member of every congregation that's represented here, that we'd have people that are all filled. I don't want a church that's like 85%. I want 100% success rate of tongue-talking, Bible-thumping Pentecostals that believe in the supernatural, that carry power from heaven. Oh man, you guys are awesome. My right leg's just starting to go down here. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Or if you've got a King James Bible, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Anyone still believe in the Holy Ghost? And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I heard a story about a children's church in a church years and years ago. And they thought it'd be a good idea to get the kids to take turns and say the Apostles' Creed as a bit of a Sunday morning item to the adults in the church. So the first little boy gets up, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And then a little girl gets up and she says, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's son." And then there was a deafening silence. And everyone's sort of wondering what's happening. And then the Sunday school teacher yells out to the pastor, "Sorry, pastor, but the boy who believes in the Holy Ghost, he's not here this morning." I just hope that the boy that believes in the Holy Ghost keeps turning up at my church. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of Almighty God. We need that anointing from heaven that when we get behind the pulpit, we carry something, that we've got something to say. There's an anointing on us. There's a grace on us. So they don't just hear what we preach, but they feel what we preach and it gets in their spirit. Oh man, I love the Holy Spirit, and we need his anointing, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and Pentecost. We're called Pentecostals because the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. This is very deep. If he fell at Christmas, we'd be called Christmacostals. We're Pentecostals. I believe the Pentecostal message is a Bible message. We believe the Pentecostal message is a New Testament pattern. We believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is for everybody. And I don't want to just be kind of, like, I love Diet Coke. It's my favorite kind of Coke. Because you can eat really bad food and justify it with a Diet Coke. But I don't want diet Holy Ghost, you know. I don't want sugar-free Holy Ghost. I want the power of the Holy Ghost without measure. I want his anointing. And you know, this message of Pentecost is a message that I believe it's our job to take to the next generation. Youth pastors, young leaders, young pastors, let's not look at what our forefathers have done in the kingdom of God and go, we're going to do it a different way. It started right because it didn't start with them. It actually started in the book of Acts. The first church service was Pentecostal. It was wild. Let's just think about that for a minute. First church service, they're gathered in an upper room. The power of God falls. Heads are spontaneously combusting. People start speaking. They can't speak in English. They're speaking in tongues. They're now drunk in the Holy Ghost. This is the first church service. And so some people go, maybe they might look at different traditional churches and look at us as something on the fringe. We're not on the fringe. We're doing what we see here in the book of Acts. And the church started this way. And I don't believe that Jesus is coming back for a church less powerful than the one that he left. I believe the church that Jesus is coming back for is going to be alive with Pentecostal power, with anointing and with grace. And you know, here's the thing. If you were in the early church and you didn't like the early church and you thought, you know, I need something a little more chill, there wasn't one. I mean, those Corinthians are even more crazy. Paul's going, "You're speaking in tongues too much." The church at Ephesus, that was a Holy Ghost church. There wasn't a non-Pentecostal church. They were all spirit-filled. They were all miracle-working, supernatural signs and wonders, breakthrough. If you wanted something chilled, there wasn't something chilled. Jesus wasn't that chilled. He went to funerals and they turned into revival meetings. Jesus starts preaching, the roof caves in, people get dropped down. Jesus had to walk on water to get away from the people wanting to come to his meetings. I love church. I grew up in church. Church is my life. My dad's a traveling evangelist. He's led over two million people to Jesus. He's a tent revivalist. My dad's a wild man. He wanted me to be in the ministry so bad that for my sixth birthday, I never got Lego. I never got a G.I. Joe. For my sixth birthday, I got an overhead projector. The sad part of this is none of this is made up. This is... I'm telling the truth now, I'm not preaching. For my sixth birthday, I got an overhead projector, but I'm not talking about one of these ones with you know, like that. I'm talking about the ones that were built like this, and they had a stick with like a gooseneck lens, and you put the transparency up, up on the screen, and I had a little screen that had three legs, and you just put it up, and I would lead the singing to my teddy bears. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Just like that. I will say this. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Stop it. The old people are getting too excited. The worship team, if you want to actually flow in some anointing, sing We Bring the Sacrifice. No, you're amazing. I'm just teasing. I've just got all these songs coming to me. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. What a great song. What an awesome song. I used to line up my bears, lay hands on them. They'd fall under the power. Except for one. He was Baptist. I'd invite my friends over. We'd play church as well. I'd receive an offering. I was a prosperity preacher at the age of 9. I love the house of God. I love it. But my prayer is that we don't lose the fire of the Holy Spirit in our ministries. Our teenagers need the Holy Ghost. Our nanas and papas need the Holy Ghost. Our brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Ghost. And so when it comes to Pentecost, let's not outsmart the Holy Ghost. He's still the best evangelist that's ever been. He's the one that brought you and I to Jesus. He's the one that when Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, he went into that garden tomb, raised him from the dead, and you and I are born again by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. We need the Holy Ghost, man. We need the signs and wonders. We need the supernatural. Let's not pull back, but let's press in and say, God, we need Pentecostal fire in our ministries, in our churches, in our preaching, in our pulpit. Oh, man. We're Pentecostals. We believe some stuff. I want to give you a few things tonight that we believe as Pentecostals. And you're going to know all of this. But it's just a good thing to have it reaffirmed in our heart and in our life. Number one, for the two of you taking notes, if you want to write this down. Number one, Pentecostals believe all of the Bible. We believe all of it. Not only does this book contain truth, it is truth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. The Bible tells us all scriptures breathe, given by the inspiration of the Spirit. I had a guy come up to me a little while ago. He said, David, he thought he'd got me in an argument, you know. He said, David, do you really believe that there was a guy called Jonah? Jonah disobeys God, gets on the wrong boat. He's meant to go to Nineveh, but he's on his way to Tarshish. And there's a storm. And there was a big fish, gobbled him up. Took him to Nineveh, released him, and then he went and preached the gospel. Do you really believe that there's seriously a fish that could do that? And I said, yeah. And he's sort of looking at me, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says that God prepared a great fish. If we can customize a car, he can customize a fish. I know that's deep. Tonight, they asked me to be the teacher this year. Well, do you really believe that Joshua marched around those Jericho walls 7 times and that those walls came down? Or is that a metaphor? No, I believe that really happened. I believe there was a Moses. I believe there was a David. I believe there was an Abraham, an Isaac, and a Jacob. I believe there was a ram in the thicket. I believe that those waters were parted and Moses led the children of Israel on a dry ground. I believe in manna from heaven. I believe in quail. I believe in fire falling on that sacrifice at Mount Carmel. I believe that Naaman got in the river and dipped 7 times. I believe in the baptism in the Spirit. I believe that Jesus walked this earth and walked on water. I believe that Jesus healed the sick. He healed all kinds of diseases. I believe that Jesus casts out devils. And do you know what else we believe? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh man, I feel this in my bones. Jesus is alive. We believe the whole Bible. I believe it from Genesis to Concordance. I believe in the book of maps. I get people come up to me and say, David, oh, I'm just going to have my quiet time today. I can't, how can you have quiet time when you open it up? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his shack, my shack, and a bungalow. There, sorry about that. They're in the fiery furnace. The king's ordered them in there. Put him in there, make it seven times hotter. And he looks in and he says, how many did we put in? They said, we put in three. He says, I see four. One of them looks like the Son of God. How do you do your devotions and go, oh, that's very good. I'll come back to it later. I read that. I need somebody to get on a piano, get on some drums, and I just want to have a minute and praise my God. This thing's alive. This thing's full of power. This thing will touch your spirit and breathe life into your heart. Oh, man, we believe the Bible. We believe in the God of the Bible. Oh, man, that'll... You know, maybe preachers, can I encourage you? You might go, well, my church is boring. I struggle to get them excited. Get up here a bit excited. I feel like if there's no fire in the pew, just get a little bit in the pulpit. Just push it a little bit on a Sunday. Just get happy just a little bit. Just preach the stuff that stirs your faith and believe God. We gotta turn this thing loose and let it work. It works. I don't wanna just see this as a source of information. This thing's alive. God's talking in this. It's got. You open it, man, you might fall under the power of God. Number two. Pentecostals believe in the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Can I add one more subline to my point with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? I'm a tongue talker. I want to be a tongue talking Pentecostal. I don't want to get up here and do a TED talk. I want to be a tongue talker. I want to get up here and speak under the anointing of God. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't get baptized in the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said, he commanded them actually not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He commanded them. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Those 10 in Exodus, they're important. Jesus was so pumped about those 10, he added another three. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. You should love the Lord your God. And then he said, go and wait in Jerusalem till you're filled with power from on high. And they did. But not all of them, but 120 did. And they're in that upper room, and the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to be so baptized in the Holy Spirit that it gets on my church. You know, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. I dare every senior pastor in this room, why don't you preach on the baptism in the Holy Ghost? I think if every pastor went home this Sunday and preached on the baptism in the Holy Ghost and opened the altar, we could probably have 10,000 people in England get the baptism in the Spirit. That would do good for England, and Ireland and Wales, and I hope there's a few others. Guernsey? Want to say Jersey? That's literally 67% of the entire population of Guernsey. Very glad you could make it. Thank you for sending such a big delegation. You know, in the original Greek language, there are two words for baptism. There's bapto and baptizo. Bapto and baptizo. I came across a poem written in original Greek in 200 AD, and it uses these two words, bapto and baptizo, talking about the baptism in the Spirit. And this poet writes a poem, of all things, he writes a poem on the process of making pickles. Some of you go, where's this heading? I don't know. On the process of making pickles. Now, before I get any further with pickles, some of you might know this, some of you might not. I always believed pickles were a thing that God made. But then I read the entire account of Genesis, they don't have one mention. It doesn't say, and God said, let there be pickles. And there was, so he rested. There is no such mention of pickles. Pickles are not a creation by God. They're actually unbiblical. Because pickles were cucumbers. Did you know that? I didn't know this. Your education system is evidently stronger than the one you gave us 200 years ago. But he talks about the process of making pickles, and he says in his poem, you take the cucumber. See, a cucumber, after it's pickled, is a pickle. Just in case you didn't know that. Some of you need to write this down, it's very important. Some people are writing this down for a message idea for next Sunday. I'm so keen to know how you go with that. Please let me know. But a pickle was a cucumber that's been saved, baptized in the Spirit, now it's a pickle. Now, I'll show you how. So he says, you get the cucumber and you dip it in burning hot water. We'd call that blanching. But he used the word bapto, fully immersed in and out, softens the skin. Then it goes into a jar full of other pickles, cucumbers I should say, filled with vinegar, sealed, and then the vinegar goes through the softened skin, and that process is called baptizo, or another word for that is saturation, where the cucumber goes, gets blanched, goes into a jar full of other pickles and vinegar, cucumbers and vinegar. And the vinegar breaks through the skin and changes the cucumber from the inside out. And it becomes a pickle. Oh no, some of you are amening out of pure encouragement. Some of you are going, amen. See, some of us, our churches, we dip them. We've got to saturate them. So they're changed from the inside out. I don't know about you. Do you remember that time that you got changed from the inside out? Do you know it's scientifically impossible to change a pickle back to a cucumber? Once you've been pickled, you can never go back to being a cucumber. I don't know. I've come to Harrogate. Simply, this is my prayer tonight. Pickle me, Jesus. I want to leave totally pickled. I never want to be the same again. I want to walk different, talk different. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you walk different. You talk different. If you go on the M1 and stand in front of a lorry and the lorry hits you, if you get up, you're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. When you get filled with power from heaven, everything changes. Oh, man. I want to be pickled. I don't want to just be a crusty old cucumber getting up on Sunday. Yes, if you have a Bible. I want to get up under the anointing of heaven. Changed from the inside out. Filled with the Holy Spirit's power. I want the Holy Ghost in my church. I want the Holy Spirit in my ministry. I was preaching in New Zealand, not for Elam, but for the opposition. Assemblies of God. No, bless them. I am one. I try to join, you keep knocking me back. I was preaching at this meeting in Auckland, and it was a youth conference, and I'd a whole lot of altar calls, and by the end of it, I was tired, and I say it a bit more nicer in churches, but you know when you're just done, you've preached your heart out, and then someone wants like a little bit more from you, and you don't, not only is there no oil in your bucket, you've lost your bucket. Well, there's a hole in my bucket. I don't know, but either way, I was ready to go home. And this girl stopped me and said, will you pray for me? And I was trying to be nice and pastoral, but also still wanted to go home. And it all nearly fell then. And my whole life just flashed before my eyes right there. And so I put my hand on her shoulder, and I shouldn't have done it, but it was one of these. Father, bless her, touch her, minister to her, catch her tomorrow in Jesus' name. So I left, and as I turned to leave, she goes, was that it? I said, I'm sorry. She said, was that it? I said, what do you mean, was that it? She said, my dad is terminally ill. My mum
and him have got major trouble in their relationship. She said, I have depression, anxiety. And she listed off all of these physical challenges that she had in her life going on. And she said to me, she goes, I came to you in faith, believing for a breakthrough. She said, was that it? I was like, no. I said, that was a practice. So I pulled that old lawnmower cord, you know. In the name of Jesus. And this is what happened. I said, in the name of Jesus, and boom, she hits the ground under the power of God. So I thought, I reckon that's it. So I went home. And can I tell you, I got in the car and I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me and say, David, every Sunday people come into your church needing a breakthrough from God, and they're leaving going, was that it? And it changed everything for me, because I don't want people coming in on Sunday leaving going, was that it? I want them to leave fully satisfied by the goodness of Jesus. You might be here, pastor, leader, wherever you're serving, and you might feel like, man, I'm done. I pray that you don't leave here going, was that it? That you leave under a fresh anointing, under a fresh grace, under a fresh fire. Oh, somebody say amen if you believe it in Jesus' name. Number three, I've got 17. Number three, Pentecostals believe in the coming of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself, not an angel, not some guru, not some spiritual person claiming to be him. The Bible says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Man, I feel like... you guys up top, you're halfway there as it is. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Somebody say caught up. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. I'm comforted. I don't know what day is coming back. None of us know. I don't know what day the rapture of the church is going to happen. I just know it's going to be a cloudy day. So if the sun's out, there's no clouds, you've got nothing to worry about. Just keep doing your thing. But if it gets cloudy, consider repentance. I don't have time to really speak into it, but I believe in the rapture of the church. When I was a teenager, that's all they preached at our church. The rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord. I was too scared to sin. What if I was in the middle of sin and the rapture happened? Oh gosh, this is going to be a bad 7 years. That's that. I don't know about you, I've got a rapture plan. I'm going to take a heathen under each arm. And when I get to 35,000 feet, I'm going to say, do you want to repent now or I'm going to drop you? I don't know if you know this. I don't believe this is taught in your Elam Bible College. But I know how the rapture is going to take place. You say, how do you know? Pastor David Campbell told me. Actually, just before the service, such a coincidence. You know how the rapture is going to happen? It's actually activated by a button. I'm making this up, but just go with me. There's a button in heaven. It just says rapture button. And it's a big red one, and it's just there for when the time comes. And one day, there's an angel. He's cleaning it. He didn't sin. He's not a fallen angel. At best, he's a curious angel. He didn't even push the button. He just gently pressed it. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Enoch's gone. God's up there saying, what did you do? He's like, I don't know. He said, you hit that button, didn't you? Yes, I'm sorry. You do that again, you're going to lose your wings for 6 weeks. About 3,000 years later, it's getting dusty, you know. The Bible says Elijah was in a chariot. And God's going, what did you do? Sorry. And there's Elijah just doesn't really know what's happened. Got a Clydesdale, but they don't even know how they got there. They're just there. And he said, if you do that again, you're in a lot of trouble. 2,000 years later. Jesus is literally on the Ascension Mount. And I quote, lo, I'll be with you always. He's gone. Gone. This is my eschatology. I don't know. This is what they teach us in the assemblies. So we're going to be with him 7 years and then we're going to come back with him. Now, there's a few things that you need to know about when we return with the Lord. Some people think that we're going to get involved in hand-to-hand combat. Well, I think we're going to be dressed for it. We're going to be riding horses. And we're going to come back ready to go. But when we get to the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible says that God is going to destroy the Antichrist with one breath of his mouth. One translation says the breath of his nostril. Not nostrils. Doesn't require two. Just one. So we're going to ride with him. We're going to get there. Is this helping anyone? And we're going to be ready to get into combat and be in the battle for the next millennium. And we're going to get ready to go. And he's going to go, put it all away. I got this. And it's done. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. And he will reign forever and forever and forever and forever. And that is my end times dissertation. I know we got pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, no-trib, pan-trib. But what we do know is Jesus is coming back. And I can't wait for the day when we're stepping out of this life into the next life. I can't wait to be in heaven where the streets are paved with gold. But we don't serve, no matter what your view might be, we all know that he's coming back in from a position of victory, authority, hair white like wool, fire in his eyes. We serve a living God. But can I tell you, we gotta preach this gospel like we know that Jesus is coming back. Get a sense of urgency. We believe in the coming of the Lord. I can't wait for that day. I'm looking forward to it. I look up sometimes and I think, could today be the day? And then somebody accidentally plays Phil Driscoll. Anyway, that's funny if you've been around a while. Number four, this is my final point. Number four, Pentecostals believe in miracles. The Bible calls Jesus the great physician. We call him the great physician. He's known as a great physician. Mark 2:17 tells us when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But this scripture, commentators have taken that scripture and they've called him the great physician. He is a miracle working Jesus. The book of John tells us there's not enough scrolls in all the world to contain the miracles that he did. There's not one person who ever walked up to Jesus in faith and he said, oh, I see your faith, but it's better that you stay sick. He healed them all. He healed all kinds of diseases. In Mark chapter 16, he said, in my name, you'll cast out demons, you'll speak in new tongues, take up serpents, and you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. If Jesus is the great physician, we are the hands of Jesus. The Bible says, through the hands of the apostles, signs and wonders were done. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jesus is the great physician. You know, he specialized in every area of medicine. I made a list of the different areas of medicine that he specializes in. He turned water into wine, medical research. He healed the nobleman's son, pediatrician. He healed Peter in law's mother-in-law, a physician. Jesus healed many sick and oppressed at evening. He was a GP locum. He healed a man with leprosy, dermatologist. He healed a centurion's paralyzed servant in Capernaum, telehealth. He healed a man who was let down from the roof, podiatrist. He healed a man's withered hand, an orthopedic hand surgeon. He raised a widow's son from the dead in Nain, trauma surgeon. He heals a woman with an issue of blood, hematologist. He healed two blind men, ophthalmologist. He healed a man who was unable to speak, otolaryngologist. He healed a man with dropsy, nephrologist. That's a kidney specialist. This is my favorite. He healed a man's, he healed a servant's severed ear while being arrested. Plastic surgeon. He can do it all. If you've got something broken, he can fix it. He's a miracle working Jesus. He still heals. In 2024, he still heals. He turns things around. He makes a difference. I'm nearly done. After this story, if the piano player can come, my father is a healing evangelist, and he was preaching once in Houston, Texas. And he was doing the Salvation Altar Call, and we all know the rules. If the meeting's a bit disrupted, when the salvation call happens, everyone behaves themselves. We pray, we believe in God for souls. And so my dad's up there going, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you don't know Jesus, tonight's your night. And he's doing that. And as he's doing it, this lady comes from the side of the building and she just starts dancing. And he says, sister, could you just sit down and let me finish this altar call and then feel free to go back to dancing before the Lord. And she says, no! And so he tries again. Sister, would you please sit down? I'm trying to do the altar call. It would really help me. That's a bit of a distraction. Please sit down. She said, no. He says, lady, sit down. And she says, no, I've been paralyzed in that wheelchair for 24 years. My dad said, please continue. And as that happened, another woman from the other side of the building runs out and she goes, I've been in my wheelchair 11 years and the power of God filled that place. I grew up watching this stuff and I believe that I want to see my kids see these same miracles. We got to take what we have to the next generation. You know, one thing I loved about preaching in Kensington Temple, it's old. That building is old. That building, I think the wood came from Noah's Ark that built that thing. That's an old church. That thing's been around for a long time, but can I tell you, you walk in there, the anointing's fresh, there's life, there's faith. Why? Because what's in that place has been passed down from Win Lewis and to the successors to this present day, and I thank God for what God's done, but may we all understand that this treasure we have in earthen vessels must be passed to the generations to come. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thanks, Brother Keyboard, if you could come. God's going to do something in the house tonight if you're hungry. What key are you going to play in, bro?
G.
G. That's a total coincidence. I've been preaching in G the entire time, the whole sermon. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm believing God's going to touch people.
Yeah.
Some of you, it's been a long time since you fell on the floor. There was a time you fell on the floor so much you used to match your clothes with the carpet. Do you remember when we used to just go to church and the fire of God had fallen?
Yeah, yeah.
I long for those days. God, do it again.
Yes, Lord.
Have you quit? Oh, no, cool. Well, please keep going. It's beautiful. No, it's... I thought he was done. I thought, no, I'm out. You know, falling under the power. Some people go, oh, that's weird. Oh, that's weird, that stuff. It's nowhere near as weird as this part. And that's knowing the right time to get back up.
Yeah.
Falling down's easy, you just fall down. And then you go, have I been out long enough? And then you look around and have a quick peek and no one else is there. So you go, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm here for the sermon. I'm here for the... Fall under the power of God. I want to be on the Holy Ghost grill as long as possible. So when I get to heaven, he says, well done. Not medium rare. I want to be thoroughly cooked, you know. I feel the fire of God in this place. I feel like anything could happen. Why don't you, right where you are, lift your hands to heaven and say this with me. Say, tonight's my night for a touch from heaven. Say it again. Say, tonight's my night for a touch from heaven. One more time. Say, tonight's my night for a touch from heaven. Father, let the fire of God fill this place. Father, let your river flow in this place. Well, God, we just ask for more of your anointing, more of your spirit. Let the touch of heaven fill this place. The meeting's not finished. I don't know what time it's meant to finish. I heard somewhere around 10:30, 11. But I'd just love it if we could stand for just one moment, lift our hands to heaven. God wants to do something in here. If you're hungry, he'll fill your cup. You don't have to leave this place the way you came. You can leave this place different by the grace of God. One touch. Jesus, we love you. Worship team, if you can come, that'd be awesome. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name, oh God. We bless your name, Jesus. We give you thanks, oh Lord. And the angels cry.